So that we get it. Okay. Morning, everyone. Today's daf in. I don't even know what we're in. Okay. It's a continuation. The daf imar, the continuation from Masechta Me'ilah. So even though it's a new Masechta, but it's the set. We're in the second day of Kinim. I told you there's only going to be a total of 4 days, and we are on. We should be today on starting on the top of Daf Chav Gimel and Aleph, which is really the second parak of Kinim. Meaning, today should be just a dedication to the second parak of Kinim, but we still have left over from the first parak of Kinim. So what we're going to do today is finish the first parak of Kinim, which is a couple more Mishnayos, Gimel and Daled, I believe. And then we're going to do today the Mishnayos in Parak Beis. We're not going to do all the Mishnayos in Parak Beis today, I'll tell you right now. We're going to be attacking Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. And you'll see why in terms of my expectations and our goals, that will be sufficient. By that point in time, I should get a resounding mercy from everyone in this room. Okay, and we continue now with the angry birds. Now the Mishnah. Now really, I'll tell you what. You have to, in order to really appreciate and understand these Mishnayos, it's like building blocks. Meaning every Mishnah lays the groundwork for the upcoming Mishnah. So I'm going to review what we did yesterday, because if you're not starting from scratch and you don't remember what we did yesterday, there's really no way that you're going to be understanding what's going on today. Okay, again, I've anyone who doesn't have a sheet, it's helpful. It's simply helpful. Okay, we're talking now about karbanos, specifically birds, and the way that birds work in terms of a chov, in terms of an obligation, is that you bring two birds generally. One bird is a chatos and the other bird is an ola. Stuart pointed out yesterday after the daf that there's an occasion where you bring one bird as a chatos and another animal as an ola, but okay, that's one exceptional case. But generally speaking, obligated birds, one bird comes as a chatos and the other bird comes as an ola. Now, birds is an entirely different animal than that of the bakar and the tzon. In other words, it doesn't operate with the same rules as animals, and that becomes very significant in terms of understanding this Masechta. You see, first of all, by birds, you don't necessarily have to indicate what it's going to be. As we pointed out yesterday, the birds can only become a chatos or an ola. That's it. Meaning you're really limited in terms of your options. On the other hand, birds don't need to be actually designated as, or let's say, not the word designated, but assigned as whether they're going to be a chatos or an ola. So in other words, for example, I need to bring a pair of birds for the Beis HaMikdash, right? For whatever reason, I need to bring it, carbon ola v'yareid, whatever the case is. I need to bring a pair of birds to the Beis HaMikdash. So what I can do is I can just simply purchase for myself a pair of birds and simply say, I now are makdish these birds. I sanctify them. I don't have to assign. I don't have to say which one's the chatos, which one's the ola. In fact, I'll give the pair of birds to the kohen, and he'll do the assignment. He'll designate one bird as a chatos and the other bird as an ola. So you can have now a pair of birds that have kedusha, and nevertheless, they're just simply unassigned. We're going to call this, from this point forward, a kain stuma. Stuma means it's closed. It's a closed book. We don't know which one is which. Quite frankly, we don't know. Nobody knows, meaning it's simply unassigned. That's a kain stuma. And then there's a kain mefureshes, which is basically I assign. I say which bird is going to be a chatos and which bird is going to be an ola. So there are basically now, to describe the pair of birds, we can use two different types of descriptive terms. One being a kain stuma, I don't know which one's which, and kain mefureshes, at the time when I purchase the birds, I designate which one is which. Remember we said this yesterday, we also said this back some time ago as well, at the end of Croesus, that when it comes to birds, so there are only two times in the bird's life where you can make that assignment. Either the point of lekicha, when you purchase the birds and you invest it with kedusha, then you can determine which bird is going to be a chatos or which one's going to be an ola, or the asiyah, or when the kohen actually offers a bird on the mizbeach. Those are the only two times when you can assign the bird. Meaning, any time in between, you simply have no ability to assign the birds. The birds will have kedusha.
So even if you say this one is the ola, it doesn't mean anything.
It means nothing. Correct. Absolutely correct. Okay, and now, just one other point to remember going into this. Let's say I need to bring two pairs of birds. Okay? I have two distinct obligations and I need to bring two pairs of birds. So what I could do is I could bring four pairs and I can leave them undesignated. I can give it to the Kohen. And the Kohen now is going to offer. Of those four, two of them as a chatos and two of them as an ola. Now remember, and this is important, when he offers in other words, of those two pair, when he offers one of them as a chatas, that creates an immediate trigger. Meaning, once he offers one of them as a chatas, so then its counterpart is, by definition, going to be an ola. Okay. So you have to remember that, because that becomes exceedingly important, just in terms of remembering, just in terms of understanding, I should say, a lot of the Mishnayos coming up. Yeah, correct. The de facto selection is so important, and just in terms of basic understanding. Sometimes the Gemara says. The Torah says that under certain occasions a person will bring the birds if he's poor. And sometimes birds just come in of themselves. Now there is also a chance, but we're not going to really discuss it. It's not really our topic. There could be where both birds are a carbonola, and that's what's called an adava. Meaning, if I feel like I feel like bringing a carbon, I'm just not in the mood for an animal. I want to bring a bird. So then you could bring a pair of birds as an ola. The truth be told is you could bring one bird as an ola. Meaning, as an adava, as a voluntary bird, you can. You can bring two birds as an ola. But that's not going to really be our topic of discussion. Our topic of discussion is chova, is really obligation. Okay, what did we learn yesterday? Do you remember? So let's review. Right? Well, the first mission that we learned yesterday, just lay the ground rules down. The first Mishnah is the very basic of basics. Now, I want to review this because also this is exceedingly important to understand what's the difference where it's a chatas versus an ola. Why is this information so important? And what creates all the problems that we're going to be experiencing over the next 3 days of Kinnan? And that's the following. The bird of an ola, the blood is sprinkled on the upper portion of the Mizbeach. The bird of a chatas is sprinkled on the lower portion of the Mizbeach. And the Mishnah says, the first Mishnah in Kinnan tells us that if I cross, meaning if I take an ola bird and I sprinkle on the lower portion of the Mizbeach, it's pasul. If I take a chatas bird and I sprinkle the upper portion of the Mizbeach, it's pasul. It's ma'akev. It simply does not work. So if I walk into a situation where I have birds and I do not know whether it's a chatas or an ola, so now we're going to be in a situation where I can't. I mean, I can't offer it on the Mizbeach because I simply do not know whether it goes below and above. And apparently, it's apparent, you can't do both. Meaning you can't dance at both weddings. Okay. Fine. You remember the first Mishnah? I'm going to just quickly review it. Chatas. So if I'm just starting from the beginning, I'm on Chav Beis Amud Aleph. I just want us to get familiar with the first Mishnah. As I told you, it's just important to get the ground rules down. Chatas of nasas lamata v'chatas behem lamala olas of nasas lamala v'olas behem lamata v'imshina b'zeh v'zeh pasul. Okay, so the Mishnah first lays down the ground rule that if I cross, it's pasul. Seder kinim kachu achov echad chatas v'echad ola b'nedarim v'dalvos kulam olas. Okay, and the Mishnah tells us that under a regular obligatory scenario, one bird's a chatas, the other bird's an ola, and by neder and nedava, of course, both birds are going to be an ola. And then the Mishnah tells us what's the difference between neder and nedava, as we already know, we've seen this many of times throughout the Gemara, is that a neder is a lie, it's a chai v'achriyusan, you're obligated, you have personal liability, and nedava, you do not have personal liability. Okay. And then, turn the page, and we're now on the top of Chav Beis Amud Beis, and here we have now, quote-unquote, the easy stuff. Okay, the easy stuff. And that is the following. And we did this mission yesterday, but I'd like to review. Okay, the first piece of information is the following. Let's say I have a bird which I know for sure is a chatas. And it gets mixed up with birds which I know for sure are an ola, meaning they already were assigned. And let's make this as extreme as possible, which the Mishnah does. You don't even need me to do it. I have one chatas bird gets mixed in with 10,000 ola birds. They're all going to have to die. All of them. Now, first of all, bittul, so as we're going to dispense with bittul right away, meaning no bittul. Bittul blockers. We're talking about birds which are live animals. By live animals, they're not subject to bittul. So bittul's already, we throw the concept of bittul right out the window. Okay, so bittul's no longer an issue, no longer a possibility. Good. So now what do I have? I have 10,001 birds where it's possible every time I pick up a bird, now that we're no longer discussing bittul, every single time I pick up a bird, I don't know. Could be a chatas, could be an ola. I know statistically it's probably an ola, but again, leave Bittel out of the discussion. So it's possibly chatz, it's possibly an ola. And now because I don't know, I simply have no idea what to do. Meaning, do I sprinkle on the top of the mizbech or do I sprinkle under on the bottom portion of the mizbech? I don't know. And so therefore the Mishnah says, because you don't know, and because this information is essential information which we don't know, and because the birds now cannot be offered, any particular bird cannot be offered, all birds have to be left to die. Now why can't I redeem birds? And the answer is very simple. You can't redeem birds. There is no... I wish all the give and takes were as simple as that. Meaning, very often you're going to ask me a question, and you're going to find like I don't have a good answer. Here, I have the best answer imaginable. Birds are not redeemable. Okay, just the nature of birds. Right. Where's the pasuk? The pasuk. Bechukosai. Birds are not redeemable.
They don't get a bell moon. No,
they can be blemished to the point where they are not offered up onto the Mizbech, but as we've discussed in the past, you have to remove an entire limb in order for them to be blemished, meaning their threshold of blemishing is a much higher threshold than that of animals. Animals, a little nick on the animal, a little cut on the lip of the animal, and that makes the animal now a bal mum. By birds, you got to rip off a whole limb. It's a different, and once it's disqualified for the Mizbech, that's it. It's not redeemable. Birds, you can't redeem birds.
That's why we have to be specific.
Yes, correct. Meaning, because birds really have a whole set of rules all to their own. Okay, so that was the first part of Mishnah Beis, and then we continued. And now follow me, I'm going to read the Mishnah inside, but more importantly though, I'll read the Mishnah, but then we'll have to look at the sheet, because really, now we're entering into the first portion of mixtures. Stop right there. Okay? Take a look at the sheet that I handed out. Okay, I'm now on chapter 1b. Okay? See? It's the second paragraph. We're going to give a simple example where I have four birds that are unspecified, unassigned. Okay? So, just to use language that now I introduced, I have two Ken Stumas.
What's the difference between the first one and the second one? A
just simply means that what I could do is I could take a pair and I can mix it with another pair. And that'll be fine. As long as everything is unassigned, that's fine. So three will be used for Chata, three will be used for Nola. Watch, you'll see. Okay, so we'll start off now. I'm just using this as an example. We could give other examples as well. But let's say now I have two pairs of birds which are unspecified. They're Kame Fereshes. Sorry. Kane Stuma. Now, if that thing in the middle is called the ches, that's the chatas bird. But before the chatas bird gets in there, meaning take it out for just a second, it would have been great. It would have been very simple. What the Kohen then would have done is he would have offered one pair as your chatas ola, and he would offer the other pair as the chatas ola. Great. Because remember, the Kohen has that ability to specify when he's actually offering the karbanos. Here's now the problem. The problem is that I have a known chatas, right? It's like sounds like a known offender. I have a known chatas bird that gets mixed into the lot. That's the case that we're discussing right over here. Now, what's the consequence of that? What's the result of that? So the Mishnah tells us now, if that were to happen, you now can only bring from that mixture of five birds only two birds, and of those two birds. Only the two birds that you're going to offer can only be a chatas. Okay, I'm going to explain, but first I want to say that again. What you can do only is bring of those five birds two of them is a chatas, and that's it. And you can't bring any more than that. Now, why not? Now, so let me try this. Let me try this explanation. Because now think about it. I have five birds now, and one of them is a known chatas. Is already been an assigned chatas. Here now becomes the problem. I take a bird out from that. Now remember, the bird that I could take out of the five can easily have been a chatas. Okay, I understood statistically not, but probability not, but it could have been a chatas. So in other words, I'm already restricted, I'm already limited, because of the birds that I take out of there, any one of them could be a chatas. So obviously, just from a suffix standpoint alone, I got to treat each one of them like a chatas. But I know not all of them are going to be a chatas, because remember, if I take one of the question mark birds and I offered a zechatas, what does that immediately do? It triggers. That means then that its counterpart bird now is there, which is an ola. So if I take, let's say, one question mark, just so that we're all looking at the same thing, let's say I take the top right question mark, and I offer that now as a chatas. Again, we don't know, but let's just play the possibilities. So that means now that I've triggered off the other question mark to be an ola. Okay. Now I take another question mark, and I bring that as a chatas, so its counterpart now is going to be an ola. So now essentially what I've done, if that's in fact what happened, is that now I have left in the basket one chatas, two olas. Okay, and now, remember, I don't know which one's which. You're stuck.
What?
And imagine, just to give me one more moment with this, imagine that the one I took was actually the known chatas. Well, that would be fine, but I don't know if that's exactly what happened. Meaning if I took the known chatas, offered as a chatas, and took the remaining two and offered those two, so then the remaining two would be an ola, that would be great. The problem, of course, being that I don't know if what I took out of there was, in fact, a chatas. The formula for which the Mishnah gives us is the following formula. Meaning, you have to look at the original, meaning, I have a known chatas that gets mixed into the pile. So what can I do now? All I can do is bring whatever the assigned bird was, meaning if the bird that flew in was a chatas, all I can do is now bring chatases, and the number of chatases I can bring is only the maximum number of birds, number of chatases I could have brought before the chatas came into the pile. So in other words, before the chatas came in, there were four in total, which means that I could have only brought two chatases. Now that the chatas flew in, I'm capped at two.
Question.
Yes.
The three that are left behind should die then.
They're all going to die.
Yeah, should die. You cannot use them at all anymore.
Correct. Correct.
Why are we concerned that after you take the first chatas out right now, then automatically of the four that are remaining, one of them is going to give an ola? So why are we concerned that when you take a second one of them could be an ola? When you go for your second chatas, right, you're going to take an ola. So why do you just take the one chatas?
No, they're unassigned.
Right.
No. When you take the first one, one of them becomes automatically an ola.
But you don't know which one.
No, right, but right, I think I understand Ben, though.
That's
Ben,
the whole problem.
Ben wants to know, meaning once you take one chatas out, that automatically will make an ola, and that ola now will be somewhere in that mixture.
Right. So why are you allowed to take a second chatas?
So you take out one chatas...
He's asking the following question, meaning his question, I'll tell you what, his question could be back in A. Mm-hmm. We don't even have to be so complicated to understand Ben's question. I hear his question, I'm not sure if I have a good answer. Look back at A, meaning I could take multiple pairs of birds and lump them together. Right? That's what we've established. So in other words, if I have, let's say, not one obligation, but let's say I have two, or in this case, three obligations to bring birds. Okay, I got a history. And so now what I can do is I can bring three pairs. Right? And now what Ben wants to know is just very simple what he wants to know. Is that once I assign one as a chatas, so then that means then by definition, its counterpart's going to be an ola, and now don't we have an ola mixed in amongst the other four?
What if you bring two at the same time?
Oh. So you're making
two
chatas
at the same time.
Right.
Right. Oh. So what I'd venture to say, although I'm not sure that I'm correct, is that you take three out.
Right, you take three out.
And you assign each one of them as a chatas.
So, I mean, one explanation could be that in this case, but you have five, right? One and the two pairs.
Right.
What you're doing is you're taking out two simultaneously, and simultaneously you're assigning...
Right, maybe that's the solution to our problem.
At the same time, two chatas.
Right, okay. All right,
and what is the difference between this one and the one in the 10,000?
Because in this one, they're susum. We don't know which one they are, right? That's an excellent question. But the difference is that in the case of one in 10,000, yes. I know that one chatas got mixed up with 10,000 olas. They're known.
10,000 olas.
Right.
Before.
Right.
Yeah.
Here.
10,000
as an assigned. Here, I don't know. Here, in other words, that one chatas got mixed in with four birds we don't know. So now what I can do, and the only thing I can do now is take two birds out, call them chataces, and that's it, and we're done. And it's over. And the reason why is because once I take two chataces out, remember, I could have been taken out this question mark and this question mark, leaving now chatas ola and ola, basically what I have left now is what we discussed in the beginning of the Mishnah. Good.
Okay. One more question. Yeah. If you could take simultaneously, and you say, okay, so take two simultaneously because the other remaining become residual become Ola, right?
Right.
So why couldn't you take three simultaneously, and you know you're going to have two Olas left anyway, so then
the other... But the three simultaneous you may take out is question mark, and question mark. You can't, that you can't do.
Right, you might leave the Chatos.
Yeah, the Chatos may be left inside. Okay. All right. Correct. In other words, when you think it all through, it works. It just takes some thought. Now, so I want to finish now Mishnah Beis, although you got the basic point of Mishnah Beis. Chatos shenisarva ba'ola va'ola shenisarva b'chatos. No. Chatos shenisarva b'chova in kasher ela k'minyan chatos b'chova. That's the Mishnah giving the formula for for what you're capped at. You're capped at only offering the number of chatos that were there in the mixture prior to the chatos moving in. V'chein, and then the Mishnah says, and it works the other way around, obviously. Ola shenisarva b'chova, if I have one bird ola that gets mixed up with a pile of chovas, chovas just simply mean it's unspecified chatos ola, meruba v'nedava mu'atas, I'm sorry, b'chova ain't kasher ela b'minyan ola shebechova. Again, you're capped at only offering olas and only offering the number of olas that you could have brought prior to the bird getting mixed in. Bein shechova meruba v'nedava mu'atas, bein shehanedava meruba v'chova mu'atas, bein shesheim shavos. And it doesn't matter what your numbers are, meaning that's what you're capped at. Okay. Ba'medra mamorim b'chova v'nedava. Okay, now we move on to Mishnah Gimel, and for us this is new terrain, new territory. All this is what we describe now when I have a known bird getting mixed up with unknown birds. Aval b'chova shenisar v'zu b'zu. Now let's take it up one step. Let's say I have two obligatory sets of birds, meaning one's a chova, one's an ola, one's a chatas, and they get mixed up one with another. Achas lezu v'achas lezu, shtaim lezu, shtaim lezu. Shalsh lezu, shalsh lezu. Mechza kasher, umechza pasal. Okay. Now, what I wish we could have done here in this diagram, I'm not responsible for this diagram, and I don't know who to give credit to. I happen to think this is excellent. But here is the only thing I would have corrected, and that is now we're in 1C, chapter 1, now we're in the C portion of it, is I would have rather have started with, let's say, 4 on one side and 4 on the other side. Meaning, let's say I have A and I have B. So let's just do that. Meaning, if you can, just work with me. Let's just start with 4 and A and 4 and B. I know we have 6 and B because he's moving on to the next point of the mission. But if you can, if you will, 4 and A and 4 and B. Okay? And now they totally get mixed up. Okay? A belonging to one person, B belonging to another person. Okay? They get totally mixed up. So now I have a total of 8 birds getting mixed up together. Now, if they all belonged to one woman, we would have been fine. Because then we would have just simply taken half the number of 8 out of there, 4, and we would have assigned them as Ola. We would have taken the other 4 and would have brought as a Chatas. Other way around, Chatas is brought before the Ola, but you understand. Meaning, that's all if it would have belonged to one woman. Here's the problem. The problem now is that of this 8 now that gets all mixed together, of unspecified birds, 4 of them belong to one woman, 4 of them now belong to the other woman. And what the Mishnah tells us is the following. You're capped. You're limited in terms of the number of birds that you could have brought. What is the maximum number of birds that you could have brought, says the Mishnah? 4. 4 is the number that maximum birds that you could have brought. Now, 2 of them being a chatas and 2 of them being an ola.
So getting to the same conclusion itself, getting 4, half of them are going to be saved.
Half of them will be saved and half of them will be lost.
So it's the same. What's the difference?
You always bring the lowest.
No, in the previous case, where I have a known chatas that gets mixed in, I can only save 2 of the 5.
So is the rule that always bring in the lowest? Which bird belongs to whom?
You don't.
You got to just give it up.
You don't. You're not going to know. In other words, what the Mishnah, it's so interesting. What the Mishnah basically is focusing on is the birds. Meaning, as far as the owner of the birds are concerned, they walk away from this whole scenario not knowing. Right? The Mishnah doesn't even address that. And that is a point of addressing. We're not going to discuss that as well. And all the Mefarshim on the Mishnah, not like I've gone through all of them, but basically deal with that aspect of the of this all these scenarios. That the owner walks away, meaning in the one we're discussing right now, the owner literally does not know whether one, two, or maybe even zero of their birds were actually offered. That's absolutely correct. We're not focusing on the owners right now. We're focusing on just our ability to offer the birds.
So is there always
wait, before we...
How can you offer something that's not yours?
How can... You're not offering it. The Cohen's offering it.
Correct.
In other words...
You're the one bringing it.
It's your... It, meaning you're the one bringing it. Correct. But in other words, right now, we have... The Cohen has the following dilemma. He's got eight birds. They're already muktash. They're already ready to be offered on the Mizbeach. Problem is, we don't know. We don't know which one's which. So what he's going to do is he's going to offer the maximum number of birds that he can offer, but no more than that.
If I can choose the four that he's choosing, it's two for this, two for that, two for this.
But he doesn't know. He doesn't know which bird belongs to who. Meaning, look, the circle question marks belong to one person. The squares belong to another person. Now, we see circle and squares. The Cohen does not see circle and squares. First of all, the Cohen only has birds in his hands. But I'm saying, but he doesn't know which one belongs to which. So all from the Cohen standpoint, all he's got is just eight birds. And he knows four of them belongs to one, four of them belongs to the other. He doesn't know which ones belongs to which. So let's see now if we can work this through.
How can he sacrifice them without knowing the chatot of which person is doing the...
What he'll do, and it's not exciting, I'm admitting, this is...
Yeah, the owner has to be known.
This solution that we're discussing, and once you have this, and then you'll be fine with the rest of the Mishnayos from here forward. These solutions are not solutions for the owners. The owners will have left...
But we cannot do shechita or pelika or whatever.
It'd be nice to know, when you bring a carbon chatas, it would be nice to know, on behalf of whom am I bringing the chatas? It would be certainly nice to know. One of the main kavanas we talked about with the carbon chatas was to have the owner of the carbon chatas in mind.
Is that not obligatory?
It's absolutely obligated.
So
the next question is:
the Cohen cannot do anything with these four birds. Even if he got four birds out, he cannot
right.
do anything.
Right.
Doesn't know.
Is it?
Cohen
can assign it, but what bothers Hedy, I hear him. He's making a very good point. What bothers Hedy is that the Cohen assigns, but the Cohen doesn't know on behalf of whom is he bringing it.
He's going to assign it to which owner? He's going to say, "This is Joe."
He doesn't know though. He can't. No. All the Cohen can assign is which one's a chatas, which one's a nola. The Cohen cannot assign this one now will belong to you. In other words, the ownership of the bird has already been established. He can't reestablish ownership. He can't transfer ownership of the birds.
So once he chooses the four, he cannot go anything beyond that. He cannot do Zerika, he cannot do anything.
Okay, I'm with you. I hear your problem. It's significant, but apparently we're just going to go forward anyway. Okay, I understand what you're saying. We're gonna plow ahead in this Mishnah. Now let's see if we can understand this. Why are you capped at only bringing four birds? Again, four birds belonging to one, four birds belonging to another. They're now mixed together, and now the Cohen is capped. He can only bring of those eight only four, two being a chatzis, two being a nola, and that's it. So let's see. Meaning, he brings now two birds as a chatzis. Okay, now what that does is it triggers. Remember, everything here is based on that trigger. Once he brings two birds as a chata, so now the other two birds he's going to be... its two counterparts are going to, by definition, be an ola. Now, he can get lucky, and now the two olas that he's going to bring are the actual counterparts of the two chatas that he brought. But not necessarily. Meaning, what could have also happened... is that the two olas that he brought were actually the two olas of the other owner, which then triggers its counterparts of being chatas.
But then where then you need two more olas again, right?
Why can't he bring four chatas and that's it?
Well, four chatas you can't bring because, remember, we don't know which bird is what. When the Kohen now offers two chatas birds, that by definition now will trigger off two of the other birds being ola. So the next bird that he picks up could either be, in other words, let's say after he takes two. What's that next bird going to be? It could be one of the unspecified birds.
The six.
Of the six. Mm-hmm. It could be an unspecified bird, which would be fine. But it could also be the counterpart of the one of the chatos birds that he offered.
These are all emes specified.
Right. In other words, this case over here, our mission over here means that it starts off with the premise that we're all unspecified.
If they're unspecified, you cannot do anything.
Right. Correct. That's Mishnah base. That's the second Mishnah. Correct. Right? So in other words, after four birds are brought, that's it. He's done. Because the two chatas birds, great. Triggering two ola birds, great. But those two ola birds, he doesn't know what they are. He now has left, after bringing two chatas, he's now left in that pile. Two ola birds and four unspecified birds. So when he brings two ola birds, it's either one of, I mean, it's many possibilities, but it could be that he hit those two olas of the chatas that he already brought, which would be great. That would leave now the other four eligible. But what he could also have done is offered the two olas of the unspecified, triggering those to be chatas. Right.
Well, why can't he bring the four simultaneously of the eight and say this is four chatas? So the other four automatically
bring
become
four.
Of the eight
and say that they're chatas, because remember that we don't know. We don't know. Whose bird belongs to whom, and now he could end up walking away with four of one woman from the pile.
That's a question. So the four that is offered, though, does it take care of both women? The four that's offered, does it?
No. As I mentioned, as far as the women are going to walk away
with nothing.
Correct.
The
point of offering is just simply because it's a carbon that could be offered on the Mizbeach.
So even if he gets the two, right, two chatat and two ola, he doesn't know the owners.
Right.
So it's the same situation.
Correct. He doesn't know the owners.
Yeah, so
this solution is extraordinarily limited, right? We keep going back to this point, but it's a good point to make. This solution is very limited. The solution is only going to help the birds themselves. Not that we're. I'm not saying it well, because we're not interested really in helping the birds. But I'm saying helping the birds in the following sense, in the sense that it is a carbon, which has the ability to be offered, and so therefore we're offering the carbonos. That's all.
Why can't you say
let them all die?
You could, but if we have an ability to offer a carbon on the Mizbeach, why not?
You can't, because you don't have the owner. You don't know which owner.
I know. I understand that. That's a problem that you raised.
It can't have a
So if the women get together, they can say, okay, we'll just redivide it.
We cannot do free offering. Can you do free offering?
No, you can't redivide it.
So the women have to come back.
Can you do free offering?
Free offering?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yes.
Well, no, because in other words, they're already were specified as obligatory birds. Obligatory birds, by definition, means one's a chatas, one's an ola.
So then they have to let them die anyway.
Okay, I'm clearly stretching everybody's mind over here, myself included. Let's go on in the Mishnah. Okay, Mishnah. So again, so b'med var mamor Mishnah Gimel b'chov v'nedava v'chov v'shenasar v'zu b'zu achas v'zu v'achas v'zu shtaim l'zu shalosh v'zu mechzah kasher mechzah pasul. Fine. So now you don't fully understand. That's fine, but just at least understand the formula. The formula now is going to be that if I have three pair belonging to one woman, three pair belonging to another woman, they all get mixed together, which now means I have 12 birds got mixed together. So now six can be offered, three chata, three ola. Six will be left to die. And of course the women will walk away, not knowing whether the birds were actually offered.
I think six can be assigned, but not offered.
Offered.
No,
offered.
No, because we don't have the owner.
I understand.
Six can be assigned, but
I hear your issue, but I'm assuming it sounds like from the Mishnah they're actually offered.
It works.
Achas lazu, shtaim lazu, shalosh lazu, vesel lazu, umei lazu. Now let's do it this way. Now we can actually look at the page and leave everything as it is. Now let's say one woman brings four to the table, and the other woman brings six to the table, and now all ten of them, right? Right? All ten of them get mixed up together. Now what? Now, says the Mishnah,
four. So
the maximum number you could bring is four. Maximum number you could bring. You can't bring more than four. Right?
That's a set rule, but right? This always will be the smallest.
And this will be, in other words, and that'll be the case if one brought four and the other brought ten. If one brought four and the other one brought 100. and they all get mixed together, your maximum number that you can bring is going to be 4. Okay. And the next Mishnah actually is going to be a cakewalk. Meaning, because the next Mishnah over here is just going to outline, like just make these cases a little bit clearer. Ketzad. Mishem Echad. Leida v'leida. Meaning, let's say I have 2 women, each one of them gave birth. Ziva v'ziva. Or each one of them, each woman experienced ziva. Mishem Echad, Mishnei Shemos. I'm sorry, Mishem Echad. Mishnei Shemos, or what if the cause of the bringing of the bird are 2 different reasons. Leida v'ziva. Ketza Mishnei Nashem, Azu Leida v'Azu Leida. Sorry, the first case in the Mishnah was talking about one woman experiencing 2 births, meaning, sorry, the first part of the Mishnah was talking about one woman who gave birth and just totally forgot, gave birth again, okay, and then she remembered, so now she had 2 bird obligations. Or what we can have is we can have a scenario where the 2 women come, Zuleida v'Azuleida, Alzuziva v'Alzuziva, Mishem Echad, and that's bringing the bird for the same reason. Mishnei Shemos, what if the 2 women are coming for 2 separate reasons? Azuleida v'Alzuziva. One's Zuleida, one's a Ziva. Good. Okay, so all this Mishnah just did is just highlight how it is that 1 woman or 2 women are coming with either 1 or multiple pairs of birds. And the basic point this Mishnah is making is it doesn't matter. Meaning a pair of birds is a pair of birds. It's coming because of Leida, so be it. It's coming because of Ziva, so be it. It's we in our discussion of pairs, it's all the same. One's a Chatzis, one's an Ola. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shtei Nashim, Shalachu, it's Kenein Be'erev. Now, let's say 2 women come into the Beis HaMikdash and they come in as a partner, as a partnership. Meaning each one needs to bring a pair of birds and they figure, you know what, there's stronger buying power in bulk. So what they did is they came to the Beis HaMikdash and brought 4 birds to the Kohen as a total partnership. Oshenasu demekinem l'Kohen, or they just simply gave money to the Kohen for the 2 of them. Le'ezishir tzekon yakriv chatzos, le'ezishir tzekon yakriv ola, be'mishem echad, be'mishnei shemos. Now, we could talk about what we talked about earlier, and that is now the Kohen has the right to assign ownership. But that's only because in this particular case, ownership was not established. They came in as a corporation. And now the Kohen can not only assign which bird is a chatas, but can also at the same time assign who does it belong to. Fine. In the previous cases, which made our head spin, in other words, it was already established which birds belong to which woman, and that cannot be reassigned. Okay.
So they're pooling their money to purchase the
birds. And excitingly enough, Hadron Allah Chatas Ov, that's the end of the first chapter of Kinnah. Great. Now, Kain Stuma Sheparach Mimenu Gozal La'avir O Sheparach La'Bein HaMesos O Shemesachar Me'em Yikach Zug L'Sheni. Alright. So our first Mishnah now, the second parak, is going to start off nice and easy. I have a pair of birds, and one of them flies away. He flies away into the air. He flies away into a group of birds that need to die. Or just simply one of the birds die. So that's not a problem. Yikach zug l'sheni. So get a new pair. Sorry, get a new partner for the surviving bird. Okay. And it's not like the Seir Lazazel versus the Seir Lashem, where Goral and lottery, and it's not like that. It's very simple. So just get a new mate. Parach lebein hakrevos, pasol uposol echad keneged shagozal parech, pasol uposol echad kenegdo. But this next part of the first Mishnah is essential. It is super important to understand this in order to understand all the following Mishnayos. But let's say now I have a bird that flies away, not to its death, not to a bunch of birds that are disqualified, not that it died, but it flies away to a group of birds that can actually be offered. Okay. So in other words, I now have a bird that gets mixed into another pile.
You gotta kill that bird.
Huh?
You gotta kill that bird.
It was right. It would have been better, say very well, it would have been better had that bird died. Right? It would have been better. Would have been better had that bird got killed. But here's now the issue. It gets mixed in with birds that are kravos, meaning birds that can be offered. So now, it's the bird that flew away is not only alive and well, but now going to take itself down, and it's going to take down its counterpart. Because remember, what's going to now happen is that when this bird that flew away is in fact offered, if it's in fact offered, it triggers its counterpart.
Was it the same bird?
How do we know where this bird came from and what
possibly? In other words, we're assuming now
tracking this bird.
Now you can look at my neat cheat sheet. Okay? At my neat cheat sheet. Okay, chapter 2, Mishnah A. Let's say one bird flies from one undifferentiated group to another. You must leave over one bird from the original group and one bird from the second group. So in other words, here I go, A to B. One bird flies from A to B. Okay, now, right? You see my circle birds and my square birds.
Was the bird assigned already or not?
Nothing was assigned. Nothing. And now I have a bird flying from A to B. So now I have a circle bird amongst the square birds. Now, I'm only circling and squaring because we just want to know who the owner is. The Kohen obviously has no idea which bird in B actually belonged to A. So now here's the problem, and here's the solution. So in other words, now what the Kohen has to do is that the bird that flew into B is puzzled. Now, do we know which bird it is? Of course not. Going to take one away. But here we go. Another bird from A also is going to be puzzle. Right. Because if B is no good, its counterpart is also not going to be any good. It would have been better, it's amazing, it would have been better had that bird that flew away died. Right.
These are all undesignated birds, and it's always the assumption that there's always even pairs. Because in every one of these cases...
It has to be. In other words, every chova obligation has a pair of birds. So we have to be talking in even numbers from the original.
But they sell the birds there. They could have thousands of birds.
All right, I understand. But let's just, to make everything simple, just deal with the cases that we have on hand. Just meaning it's already, as you can see, it's already complex enough. Just, again, the concepts that are the most important ones. Okay, so now remember what's the rationale behind it? It's very simple. It really is. Meaning, once A flies to B, so now in pile B, it's gonna create obviously a big headache because now I have a bird over there that is linked to A. So if I were to assign it in pile B as either an Ola or Chatos, it triggers its counterpart as either being a Chatos or an Ola. And basically now what happens is that let's go to pile A of the three remaining birds. One of those birds is going to either be a Chatos or an Ola mixed up with unspecified birds. Does that sound familiar? It really should. That takes us back to the first chapter. That takes us back to the second Mishnah, or 1B, if you will.
But in the case of where one of the ends up in B, right? Why isn't that like the first Mishnah where they're all puzzle?
Right.
What? Say it again?
When you have one from A going into B and you have five in B right now, right?
Right.
And you're saying just take one out and that's it.
Yes.
Why isn't this like the first Mishnah where... When one got mingled with a thousand...
Because the case of one that gets mingled with a thousand is I know one's a chattis and I know that the thousand are an ola.
But in this case,
it's unspecified.
They're both groups are unspecified.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take
both groups.
And even though this is one unspecified one going into four unspecified ones, because it triggers it, we're now treating it as a specified one.
Correct. Correct.
So we take one out.
So take one out.
Then the other sex would be one of them would be Ola. So you can take one more.
All right. So okay. Right. So we're now Cape side. So but here we go. This next Mishnah.
But if two flew in, then we go to 1C as opposed to 1D.
Right. Well, wait. We're gonna hold on. So post. Cape side. Stay now. Shem lazu. Stay kinim. So here the Mishnah now illustrates the following example. We're in Mishnah Beis, obviously. So let's say one woman has two pairs of birds, and the other woman has two pairs of birds. Park me zula zoo. So then I have one bird flying from one to the other, right? Exactly as we described. Echad balech, I'm sorry, posel. So it's going to posel echad balechisa. Okay? So it posels, meaning it will posel. In other words, we're now in, look at, again, just go back to, I know we're in the second Mishnah, but go back to A. It's exactly as we described. One flew from A into B, so now one in B is going to be puzzle, and another one in A is going to be puzzle. Fine. Now the Mishnah takes it one step further. Chazar. Now I have, yeah, I know, this is the real entertainment of today. Now I have a bird flying back from B back to A. Now, obviously, what could have happened is that bird, that oddball bird, that circular bird, realizes, I don't belong here. This is not my crowd. And I would like to go back to A. Now, that could be, but of course, what could also be is that I can have any one of the square birds flying from B back to A. Posel echad bechazaraso. It's going to result in the same effect. Meaning that if in fact there's one of the square birds that flew from B to A, which is a strong possibility, let's just say it simply like that, so then the square that's found in A obviously is going to be disqualified, plus one of the squares in B also will be disqualified as well. Now let's say this continues, the sequence continues, where one from A flies to B, one from B flies to A, and that continues for the remainder of the day. Believe it or not, we're going to cap the number of birds that are going to be disqualified. And why is that we're going to cap the number of birds going to be disqualified? The answer is 1C. Right. Because what do we learn in 1C? That if I have unspecified birds, and they all get pooled together, the smallest number, or if it's 50-50, so then half the birds are salvageable. Not, again, just to finish up, repeating what I said earlier this morning, not that the owners know which bird it is that's being offered, but at least half the birds are salvageable, half the birds can be offered on the Mizbech, the other half cannot. So if I have now, we're finishing up, the second Mishnah of the second Perek. So if I have birds flying from this group to that group, and then the Chazara, and they keep going back and forth, at least at the end of the day, half the birds can be offered as a Chatzis, half the birds can be offered as an Ola. And the other one's obviously going to be left to die. Now, I was one Mishnah short of where I thought I was going to get. Stay tuned. The next Mishnah is as enjoyable a Mishnah as you'll ever see in Shas. Could be tomorrow we're going to start off with one of the most difficult Mishnahs in Shas. Could be.